Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
Massachusetts is the most expensive state for childcare in the country. Annual costs average $20,000, according to data from the Economic Policy Institute. And throughout the pandemic, the burden of paying for it has not only proven more difficult for working parents, it's a problem for employers struggling to find and keep employees. Yasmin Ammer of member station WBUR tells us how some employers in Massachusetts are stepping up.
Where do you want to eat your breakfast? Do you want to eat in your playroom and we can read some books?
On a typical morning, Sarah Berkeley chops up strawberries and a bagel for her 2-year-old Cole.
Mama, breakfast.
Mama, breakfast. Yeah, Mama.
She'll log on to work soon from the top floor of her home just outside of Boston. Berkeley is a manager for a benefits consultant called NFP. While she's at work, she relies on a nanny to care for Cole.
Look, you want to play the music?
It's a good arrangement. Berkeley feels lucky to have it, especially with another baby on the way. But on a few days, things don't go as planned because even nannies get sick. Berkeley falls back on a familiar option.
I can definitely turn the TV on and let him watch Elmo. It's really the only way I'll get some quiet time because otherwise he's kind of just like, Mama, Mama, book?
Tiger.
Yeah, you want to watch Daniel Tiger.
But she does have another option, something more employers like hers have started to offer, backup childcare. Her company offers 10 days of subsidized care. She says it can be hard to find someone last minute.
But the times that it works, it's great. It's been great, and it's been a savior for sure.
And Berkeley is seeing more of her own clients offering this benefit too. Bright Horizons is a Massachusetts-based company with childcare centers across the world. Since the pandemic, they've seen a 28% increase in the number of U.S. business clients who've added backup care.
If you want to keep employees, you know, and if you want these working moms to stay, then you have to give them support. And that's just how it is.
Employers like J.C. Burton recognize this. She's the founder and CEO of Maven Construction in Boston. But there was this 10-month period right after the pandemic hit when she had another unofficial title.
The chief babysitter or chief childcare coordinator was a task and a job I didn't know that I would ever have.
Around half of Burton's staff had young kids who couldn't go to school, including her own 8-year-old daughter. So parents took turns watching a handful of kids.
We had to turn ourselves into a little temporary daycare, right? There were offices that we utilized where we had to, you know, set aside space for kids to kind of come and work while their parents were working.
Burton would call local childcare centers on behalf of her employees, and when spots opened up, she immediately paid the deposits to secure them. In fact, Burton now includes childcare in her plans for new construction projects.
So yes, in the project plan, we're certainly thinking about that now. We would not have ever previously thought about that.
There has been a major shift in the state's business community, says Tom Weber, who leads the Massachusetts Business Coalition for Early Childhood Education. The group of more than 80 business leaders launched last year.
I don't think that employers see it so much as their responsibility, as much as they see it as their enlightened self-interest to engage in solutioning around childcare because they desperately need workers.
One of the coalition members is Lori Meads, the CEO of Siemens Bank in Cape Cod. Her bank partners with local childcare centers and pays 65% of the tuition. They started doing it way before the pandemic.
We've been able to keep many an employee because of it. And, you know, the cost that you would spend on time and resources to train someone, it is far more beneficial to help them in this way and be able to keep them in the workforce.
Now, it's unusual to find any employer who pays that much for childcare. And it's very unusual to find employers in the service sector that provide any childcare support, even though service workers struggle with some of the least flexible schedules. Lamia Elithwi has been working as a housekeeper at a Boston hotel for nearly 3 years, making a union wage of $26 per hour. Without childcare benefits from her employer, it's difficult to afford full-time care for her 2 young children.
I was thinking right now about, like, quit my job because I don't have choice. But at the same time, if I quit, we cannot pay our bills.
When employees leave jobs or reduce their hours, it can have economic consequences for their families and for their employers who have to recruit and train new workers. But Tom Weber says there's more momentum than ever from employers. They want to solve this problem. What they don't want to do is foot that massive childcare bill on their own. So the coalition is putting its weight behind state legislation that would put way more money into childcare.
I think that this, you know, is best solved through public-private partnership. Certainly it's not going to be achievable by continuing to place it on the shoulders of families alone.
The Massachusetts Taxpayers Foundation estimates that inadequate childcare costs employers in the state more than $800 million a year. Workers lose more than twice that in wages, especially women. That's a huge motivator for J.C. Burton, the owner of Maven Construction.
Right. If our workforce is ever going to be equitable, where there are women involved, where there are people of color involved, we have to think about what that looks like for childcare and having access to childcare.
After all, she says, the future of her company depends on working parents. For Here and Now, I'm Yasmeen Ammer.